To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a roaring fire in front of a rustic red barn and a massive pine tree with a magnificent sunset sky in the background comes to us from yours truly as I stop burning brush from a recently downed, similarly massive pine tree long enough to enjoy the moment, capture it with a few quick pics, and to realize just how blessed I was in life, despite the trials and hard work that come with it sometimes. When I discovered that one of the huge pine trees in my backyard cracked and collapsed on the morning of August 19th, I initially made inquiries to a friend who was in the landscaping business whether or not he removed trees. He indicated that he didn't, but that he knew a tree guy that might be able to help me out. However, I live quite a distance south of my friend and his tree guy associate, and a couple of days later, my friend told me his contact determined I live too far away to help. At that point, I got the sense that I was supposed to take care of this problem on my own, and I decided that I would be my own tree guy. I have a chainsaw, a Sawzall, a handsaw or two, and I have a burning barrel to dispose of wood. I don't really do much with the back hill that is my back property, and because the felled tree isn't really an emergency, I decided to commit myself to doing it myself, little by little, bit by bit. And I purchased a lumberjack pair, a large handsaw and a log splitter axe to deal with the larger trunk areas of the tree, which I'm still waiting to receive. And even though I have limited time, I have made what I would consider great progress with three cutting and burning sessions. This latest episode with the tree reminds me that sometimes you find yourself in a situation where there are no quick fixes and that are going to require patience and a sustained effort for an undetermined amount of time. When my divorce was finally signed in 2019, I came to the realization that the marital house was lost. I wasn't going to receive much of anything when and if it sold, still hasn't sold, and I had to find a new place for my kids and I to live. I was in debt at the time and immediately started working two jobs with the vague hope that I could eventually reduce my debt, save money for a down payment, and qualify for a second mortgage. My initial efforts were paltry in comparison to the mountain I had to move to buy a new place, but I pressed in and did all I could to work toward that dream and leaned on the Lord every single day to receive His strength for the journey ahead, and even received His peace and joy in the midst of it all. Long story short, one blessing led to another, which snowballed to a place where I was debt-free and moved into my place down by the river about 9 months after I signed the documents that ended my marriage and caused me to pay support and work two jobs to survive. And of course, there was a little thing called COVID-19 that happened to fall right in that time frame. But God was faithful, and He taught me all about what can happen when you decide to walk with Him through life, and how even the biggest challenges are overcome when He is with you. So yeah, there's a pretty big tree in my backyard, and I know that with sustained effort and faith in the Lord, you can overcome anything, or at least endure it until He makes a way. That's the truth. So help me God. So that brings us to our current series, Statements of Truth. That springs from the last portion of step number 2, Deception versus Truth, of The Steps to Freedom in Christ by Dr. Neil Anderson. That step deals with deception, and because we've completed the process of examining, confessing, and renouncing all the ways we have been deceived, the good doctor prescribes a healthy dose of the truth for us. Anderson introduces the statements of truth by stating, "For 2,000 years, Christians have known the importance of verbally and publicly declaring truth. Read aloud the following statements of truth and carefully consider what you're professing. You may find it helpful to read them aloud every day for at least 6 weeks, which will help you renew your mind to the truth. So, for our current series, we are presenting each of the remaining two statements of the Steps to Freedom, the statements of truth from the Steps to Freedom in Christ, from step two of the Steps to Freedom in Christ, one at a time. We are declaring them verbally and publicly because we, like the Christians who have gone before us over the last 2,000 years, know the importance of doing so. We are also sharing the statements associated Bible verses and sharing our thoughts about what each statement of truth is telling us, why they are important, and how they apply to our lives as Christians. So today's statement is truth is number 10. I renounce all selfish goals and choose the ultimate goal of love. I choose to obey the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And the Bible verses listed with this statement are Matthew 22:37-39, where Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the second Bible verse they provide is 1 Timothy 1:5, which is, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." Today's statement of truth focuses on the centrality of love in our faith. Christianity was never meant to be a religion, a list of do's and don'ts, ceremonies, and traditions. Our faith is rightly understood to be a love relationship between us and God. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God's love for us is shown in his Son, Jesus, and the symbol of that love is the cross of Christ, where God demonstrated just how much he loved us with the sacrificial atonement that cost this life of his beloved Son. One thing we may not realize, because hindsight is 20/20 and we get blinded by the things we know after the fact, is that Jesus said these words. This passage of scripture is from a conversation Jesus had with a befuddled and confused Nicodemus. And although we know the end of the story and what Jesus was pointing to, we can't blame Nicodemus for being confused. And hearing how Jesus was saying that people who believed in him would be saved and not perish, he may have been a little nervous that Jesus was some wild revolutionary who was confessing a desire to rule and reign on the earth with a thinly veiled threat of violence for anyone who didn't believe in him. In the same passage, Jesus says that he, the Son of God, talking about himself in the third person, came down from heaven. So Nicodemus may have been a little unsure whether or not this miracle worker Jesus may have been a little unbalanced too. But as hard as it may have been for Nicodemus to understand at the time, everything Jesus said was true. But how it was true was still a mystery and an unfulfilled prophecy at the time. God's great love wasn't expressed in the establishment of some earthly kingdom. His great love was demonstrated by a costly sacrifice that allowed sinful men to be accepted into his eternal kingdom. And so now that we know the truth of God's great love for us, we who believe in Jesus are to love him right back with every depth of our being, with our minds, hearts, and souls. And that's God checking in with some lightning. Or, well, you don't hear lightning, that's thunder. Anyway, so we are to love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, minds, and souls. And God chimed in to let us know that's true. And to share the love of God by loving our neighbors as ourselves. But just as we are not forced to believe in Christ, we must freely choose God's ultimate goal of love. We must choose to obey God's call to love him and our neighbors as ourselves. Today's Bible verses come to us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from a section on alcohol and drug abuse, and today's verses are Proverbs 23, 32 through 35. And the Word of God says, "In the end, it bites like a serpent, stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink." Today's verses fall under the sixth point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on alcohol and drug abuse. That sixth point is, consider the sad picture of a drunkard. The Bible tells it like it is. Today's verses were shared yesterday under point number five of our Counseling Reference Guide, which was heavy drinking brings misery. But Mr. Cruis must have thought that the wisdom of this passage in Proverbs bore repeating, this time with the emphasis of just how sad the alcoholic's plight is. Alcoholism causes misery, and it is sad to see how the one addicted to alcohol will be drawn back to drink, even though it causes them to suffer. Ironically, yesterday, without looking ahead, I actually repeated Cruis's sentiment in point number six, the Bible tells it like it is. I used those exact words without knowing it when I considered how accurately this passage of Scripture relays scenes from an alcoholic's life. However sad this picture of a drunkard's life may be, though, I know that there is great hope even for the saddest among us when we decide to surrender to God and ask for the Lord's help to deliver us from alcoholism's darkness. What we think is sad and just impossible to overcome, I must have another drink, is possible for God to heal. So I again encourage those with alcohol or drug addictions to seek the Lord's help and to join a recovery program where you can place your faith in Jesus as your higher power and experience your freedom in Christ through His strength and guidance. The Lord set me free after living most of my life in bondage to booze, and I know He can do it for anyone willing to follow Him into freedom. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Holy Spirit, and we're in chapter 22, The Spirit Assuring. And today's section is on Received the Spirit of Adoption. And so if you want to know what that phrase means, or at least according to A.W. Pink in the Bible, go to mtforchrist.org and you'll see that resource at the end of today's blog post. Also at the end of today's blog post, you'll find encouragements to join our discipleship classes for Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, or Freedom in Christ, which are all available on the MT for Christ 247 podcast and the MT for Christ 247 YouTube channel. And I continue to be blessed by the fact that people are accessing those teachings almost on a daily basis. People are hitting Bondage Breaker and Freedom in Christ lessons. And whether or not they're exposed to a few minutes or sit through the whole thing, I've encouraged that people are seeking, seeking teaching. So we invite you to check out those teachings. And if you wanted to take a deeper dive into the material other than just listening to them, they are just audio teachings, even on YouTube. You can contact me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com and I'd send you whatever class materials I have for those courses free of charge via email or just Word docs. So that's what you'd get. Anyway, well, today is another meeting of the Celebrate Freedom Growth Group at Starpoint Church. We'll be going over the lesson on amends. Basically sharing our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and hopefully sharing joy as we put the emphasis on joy and overcoming and victory rather than just lamenting over the things we've done. The sad picture of the alcoholic's life that they talked about is sad, but the fact that you've you know, in recovery, when you've decided to repent and, you know, be set free from it, that's a good thing. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven of all our sins. Everything we've ever done or ever will do has been covered by his blood and his love. And we have the new life of Christ in us to do the impossible, to overcome the things we never thought we could overcome, and to live a life of peace. And, you know, it doesn't mean there won't be hard work or big problems to unravel and fix, but the Lord will be with us in that, and he'll bless our efforts. Anyway, it's a short day today, so I have to pray and get on the road. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. We thank you so much for all you've done for us in Christ. We thank you for the freedom you've given us. We thank you for the ministry that you've invited us to be a part of. And Lord, we just pray for you to bless us and bless anyone who's listening or reading today's message, that you'd come alongside us in our walk of faith, and that you'd come along our prayer requests as well. We are praying for the weather situations and other situations in people's lives today, for you to come alongside it, Lord. So we pray for you to be with us. And as always, we pray for you to go before us. We want you to open our eyes to the things you want us to see, and lead our steps in the things you would have us do. Because, Lord, all we want to do is represent you and your kingdom, and, you know, to share and show the love that you've given us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.